Hello there, and welcome to the Rant of a Free Trapper. My name is Chip Davis, and I'm going to be sitting in with you for a few minutes here, guest hosting the Rant. Many of you heard that I covered for Clint a week or two ago on Trapping Radio. Clint has a few issues going on in his family that he's taking care of, so I'm going to have the opportunity to sit in with you tonight and host the Rant of a Free Trapper / Man Strong podcast. So I believe this was the week that Clint had planned to initiate his Man Strong podcast. It's going to be kind of taking the place of the Rant. So I am going to kind of have a hybrid show here. I absolutely think that we need to wait and let Clint start the Man Strong podcast off on the right foot here rather than me butcher it up here. But Clint did ask me if I wouldn't mind filling in, and of course I've got my buddies back, and I'm going to fill in for him for the Rant tonight, or maybe a little bit of a hybrid show. Got some interesting things to talk about here that I think is going to be interesting. This may be a little bit shorter rant than you're typically used to listening to, but that's okay. We're going to kind of trudge through here, and I got a few things on my mind and that we'll talk about. Before we do, we want to thank our sponsor. Alan over at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies is the sponsor for the Rant. Alan's a super, super good guy. I always look forward to hanging out with Alan at the shows. I've told you lots of stories about him and different things we've done. One interesting one, we generally camp together. And I say together. He travels to the show in a camper, and as well as I do. And so a lot of times we will kind of coordinate or plan before the shows, and if I get there first, he'll save me a spot, or vice versa. If he gets there first, he will save me a spot at the show. So as a result of that, with our campers being parked side by side, we get a chance to spend a lot of time around each other at the conventions, and generally cook most of our meals right there on the campground. So it's a lot of fun. If you come to some of the shows this convention season, which is upcoming here really, really soon, then look us up. Swing through the campgrounds. We always enjoy visiting with the folks there at the conventions and at the shows, and sit around. Generally, we'll have a big circle of chairs there with a campfire, and we'll cook something up and maybe pick on a guitar or whatever. It's a lot of fun. So look forward to it, and show season will be here just right around the corner. As you're replenishing your supplies that you used up for this past trapping season, give Alan a shot at your business, and give him a shout. You can get him at FunkyTrapTagsAndSupplies.com or Hilltop Outdoors. He owns both of those businesses and a great guy to deal with. And the sole reason that you're listening to the Rant every week. He is the sponsor of the Rant. So help the guy that helps you, and that is Alan over at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. So, Alan, we appreciate your support immensely. Well, guys, it's springtime. Trapping season has kind of come to a close. I know this is not Trapping Radio, but the Rant. But along with that, we've had some interesting developments that I am absolutely not qualified to talk about. But we're going to give it a stab here. Just recently, within the last couple of days, the ongoing for 2 years now, I guess, Robert Mueller investigation into President Trump's the possibility, or they investigated, did he collude with the Russians to influence the 2016 elections, or did he not? That just came to a close, and President Trump has been proven that no evidence has been found of Russian interference in our election, and our election was fair and square. I wanted to spend a few minutes this evening talking about how that happened and how we're that vulnerable that the top office of the United States can just come under almost a whimsical type of allegation and almost sidetrack or severely impede the progress that could have happened for 2 solid years now. So I did a little bit of research, and I uncovered this. There's a gentleman by the name of Rod Rosenstein, who was acting attorney general right after Trump took office. And he is the one that ordered the special counsel. Now, he was appointed by Trump, I understand, but he was the one who initially ordered the special counsel. There's been lots of turns and lots of forks in the road since then, and it gets really, really confusing, and I'm not a news guy. I follow just enough to make sure that we're not at war or something like that, and so about twice a week maybe I'll turn on the news. But I have been cautiously tracking, I guess, on this Russia investigation or Mueller investigation, as a lot of people call it, as President Trump calls it, a witch hunt. And I think he is has been proven right on his analogy of that. So the investigation was ordered on May the 17th of 2017. So this is close to April of 2019. So almost 2 years, not quite, probably 18 and a half or pushing 19. Is that right? No. So it'd be 24 months if it was 2 years. So like, whatever it is, 23 months, something like that. It's been going on a long time. So I just did a little research here. Obviously, there were some people that did not like Trump's political stances and some of the ideology that he has. They were trying to negate the election in any way, shape, or form that they could, and they came up with basically what is becoming apparent, a sham allegation that was completely not factual, to the point that we had to appoint a special investigator, a special counsel. And, you know, there has been countless turns in the road. I know we've changed FBI directors as a result of that. There's a lot of misdealings in Washington that have been uncovered, a lot of personnel changes, a lot of false accusations that were prosecuted even when the prosecution knew there were false allegations, forcing some individuals to plead guilty, losing their positions, losing their jobs, some even having to do jail time. 2 years of this going on. And so I researched a little bit of the cost. What I came up with is the most recent accounting that, because this is required to be reported, it's public information, the most recent accounting was through the third quarter of 2018. We've already played out the fourth quarter of 18 and already nearing the end of the first quarter of 2019. So those two quarters are not even in these totals. Up until that point, the investigation had spent $25.2 million chasing a cloud, chasing an accusation that ultimately was proven completely false to start with. You know, there are estimates that by the time this thing is all wrapped up and said and done, it's going to approach $40 million. So that kind of led me down another little turn or pathway. You know, if we reach that $40 million, we're already 25.2 with only, you know, two-thirds of it reported. You know, there's a lot of stuff that will be uncovered later on. That $40 million could very, very well be a true and accurate number before this is over with. So I went and I just kind of looked to see, you know, how many taxpayers does it take to pay that debt? I understand $40 million is not a lot of money in the federal government's hands, but it's a whole lot of money in my hands. And so I was trying to kind of wrap my mind around that and put that in rational numbers that I could understand. And so this is kind of what I came up with. There's 324 million people that live in the United States. Out of that, only 140 million of those pay taxes. So that's 40. And this, when I say pay taxes, this is federal income tax I'm talking about. The average that a person pays, now this is, you know, some people, you know, have it held out of the check and they actually get refunds. So the actual part that's paid in on average, obviously there's people that pay $1 million a year and some people that pay, you know, $100 a year in federal income taxes based on a whole lot of different things. But the average that I found was $10,500 a year from the 1.4 million people that actually pay taxes. Interestingly enough, not 1.4, 140 million that pay taxes out of the 324 million people that live in the United States, that's only 44% of our citizens are taxpayers. 56% are not. So here's my point. This is what I was trying to find out. If you divide that 40 million by the average that's of $10,500, or just round it off to $10,000, it takes 4,000 people's income tax each year just to fund this investigation. That ultimately turned out zero. You know, I mean, I suppose that now we know that there was no collusion with the Russians. We know that, at least in that regard, our president has been exonerated, and that's what he's been claiming all this time. Did it really take 4,000 people's income tax to fund that? Something is totally, totally messed up here, you know. And that's kind of what I wanted to lead in the show and talk about a lot of things. I'm not a political guy. I don't get into politics very much. I don't even follow politics all that much. But I think it ties back into life, and it ties back into being a man, and ties back into being prepared. And so what do? You know, there's lots of choices that are available. Excuse me. You know, I suppose one choice would be, hey, I'm just not going to pay any income tax at all. Well, if that's the case, you're probably going to get a knock at your door, and you're probably eventually not going to sleep in your own bed. That's not a recommended answer, at least in the civilized world that we live in now. There's people that really go out on a limb and call this government almost tyrannical, and it very well could be. There's a lot of issues and a lot of areas of government that are. Ultimately, we are still a free nation, and ultimately we are a republic that is elected by the people, and they work for us. Now, I understand that the power and the power grabs and the politicians, I understand all of what's going on there, and it doesn't seem fair a lot of times, but we still do live in the best nation on the planet. And so for that, I'm still very, very thankful and very, very glad. So what is the answer? What are we to do? How do we disseminate, you know, the government wasting $40 million on an investigation that was all politically motivated to start with? You know, literally a waste of money. And so this is kind of what I've come up with. You know, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with where Clint is, his ideas for starting this Man Strong podcast. And it is preparedness is a small part of this, but it's more self-reliance. It's things that we as men can do to take care of our families, to support our families, to prepare our families. So let's just kind of try to tie this in briefly with the with this investigation and with just government making bonehead decisions anyway. You know, let's just kind of play some what ifs. What if there's been several states recently all across the country that either have gone bankrupt or have been right on the verge of going bankrupt? Some of the larger states are even like that. What if that happened to the federal government? I know we had some political issues that we had a government shut down not long ago. Believe me, that is possible again. You know, what if you're a federal employee and you didn't get the back pay and it stayed shut down indefinitely? What's your backup plan? How are you going to eat? That's where it goes back and ties back in to issues like self-reliance and you know, self-control is part of that. But what I'm really more talking about is, how are you going to eat? You know, what if the grocery store is completely shut down? I'm not a big believer in a grid down total situation from an apocalypse at some point in time, and it may happen, but what I am a big believer in and what I do prepare for myself is shorter term things. What if it's a storm? You know, I lived through Hurricane Katrina which is, you know, the worst natural disaster in the southern United States, maybe ever. Even before that, remember ice storms that we had. It's much more regional, but we don't have a lot of winter weather where I live down south, but we do occasionally have ice storms, which are more devastating than blizzards or heavy snow sometimes, because our power lines snap and the engineering was not necessarily designed years ago to take that. And I remember in 1997, we went 17 and a half days without any electricity. You know, and so what do you do? I mean, what kind of measures have you taken? Have you thought through that process at all? Do you have backup plans that you can, you know, rely on? Do you have a generator that you can keep your food from spoiling? You know, all the food in the world in the freezer is great. It's no good if you warm up and you have no electricity from a power down type situation. It may be that you need to save some money up and buy a generator, at least a small one that's capable enough to run in your freezers or your refrigerators. You know, we can do without a lot of things that we sometimes think are necessity. You know, the television and entertainment, those are things we don't have to have. Food is something we absolutely have to have. What about fresh water? That's the same thing. You know, there's all kind of filtration devices. And here again, I'm not the doomsday prophesier by any stretch, but I have lived through a handful of natural disaster type stuff that we were without food and fresh water for a few days on end. You know, these filtration devices are not bad at all. If you happen to live in a rural part of the country like I do, and we have spring, naturally occurring springs all across this property that I'm sitting on, I know where these spring heads are. I can go with very, very little effort, and I can collect cleaner water coming out of the ground than comes out of my tap on our community water system, literally cleaner. It doesn't get a whole lot cleaner than coming out of these, you know, these springs. So that's something that I do personally. You know, I'm not sure where you are listening to this, but this is maybe some of the type of things that you want to explore. A little longer term scenario there would be food. Do you have food put back? That's something that I'm going to be doing a lot more of this summer is drying, especially vegetables, drying and dehydrating, where you don't necessarily have to have the refrigeration to maintain and keep a food source longer terms. There's a lot of guys that listen to this podcast that hunt and that are hunters, and you can hunt. If it comes down to the point of feeding your family, I would hunt in the middle of July just like I would during regular season if it came down to literally my family was going to not eat, or I could go harvest an animal, even though it may be off season or not quote unquote, in the realms of, I'm not advocating going and shooting a big buck for sport or for bragging right in the middle of July or August when it's completely out of season. But if it comes down to a meat type situation, I know Meat Trapper talks about the beaver burger all the time. I absolutely love it. It's a readily accessible food source right there. Many of us are around water sources, and most of the water sources across the country, not all, but most of them have access to beaver. So there are a lot of different answers there. The whole forage thing, I'm not an expert on that, so I'm not going to go into details, but there's a lot of things that you can eat growing right out there in the woods that are free of charge, and it's just a matter of going and collecting those and identifying them. That's really a key thing, is to make sure you know if you're in a situation like that. That kind of comes to the preparedness and what you can need to be doing while you're not in an emergency type situation, and that is being prepared. And that's something that I have started doing. Especially, we bought a new property a couple of years ago, and there's a lot of things out here that I have that were growing on this farm that did not that were not commonly occurring on the farm that I left. And, you know, things like pawpaws naturally occur in the woods are full of them. They have a fruit that's edible that's actually really, really good. We found several wild plums. Fact of the matter, it's springtime. If you know where those plums are, and some wild plums, what we did recently, our plum trees are about to go out of bloom right now, but we took some flagging tape. The easiest way to find these wild plums and wild pears is when they're in bloom. You can see these things for a mile away. Even when they have fruit on them, it's much more difficult to identify them and to find them. When they're in bloom, they have white blooms with kind of little red stolons there coming out from the center of the petals, and they're very, very easy. You can see those things, especially in the early spring, which is where most of the country is now. If those are native to your area, take your roll of flagging tape. Go spend the afternoon in the woods one Sunday afternoon and you go flag these. Come back and check them in the middle of the summer and see if they were fruit bearing this year. They're notorious for late freezes to take that fruit out. You know, sometimes that happens 2 or 3 years in a row. But that is something, just another source and another way to collect that. You know, when you really start thinking about a long-term situation, you can harvest sugars from these fruit trees. A lot of those are really high in fructose, and there's certain things that you can do. Without doing your research right now, it's going to be very, very difficult to where would we be without Google? You know, I rely on that way more than I ever should and way more than I ever really thought I did. If I wanted to know how to extract sugar from a wild plum, I do know that they're extremely sweet and they're full of sugar. My go-to answer in ordinary everyday life is to reach for my cell phone, pull up Google, and type in a key phrase like how to extract sugar from a wild plum or whatever the case may be. If we got into a grid down situation, guys, we're not going to have Google any longer, or at least for temporarily or maybe an extended point of time, that knowledge base goes away that's in the palm of our hands right now. So that's why I'm saying it's really important to do your research right now and think through these situations and the what ifs and what could do, what could be and all that. And as your mind kind of wanders with that and dwells on that and ponders these sorts of things, then explore those and have a baseline knowledge of how you could get by and how you could survive. All the way down to, this goes on and on and on and on, and I'm not an expert in any of these, but I do think about this quite often. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, all the way down to starting a fire. One thing that I usually do, and I started this a long time ago, I've never been in an emergency situation where I had to use this, but, there's all kind of methods of starting a fire. You can use the bow and, what do they call that? Where you make a bow with a string and a stick and the mantle and pindle, is that what they call that? Anyway, somebody can correct me on that. But I know you basically, cedar is a species here that's really good for that. I've started a fire or two like that. Here's the easier way to do that is you can buy big lighters at the, big box stores for 49 cents a piece. Go spend $5 on big lighters and put those things back. You've got a whole bunch of fires that you can start with that big lighter and or whatever the case may be. There's all sorts of different things, fire sticks that with magnesium that you can rake across steel. There's all kind of things. I kind of like the idea of pulling that big lighter out, or one of 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 that I have put back, and I don't smoke, so I don't keep a lighter a lot, but I always have one or two in my truck. I always have one in my turkey vest just in case I ever got stranded or stuck or turned around or whatever, and I needed to bunk out in the middle of the woods one night. I would be okay. I can create some warmth there and And, you know, we can, you know, all the way down to boiling some water if you needed to. You still got to have fire to do that. So this is some pretty basic things that with a little thought process, you know, you can really put yourself levels down the road if you find yourself in an emergency situation or a grid down situation or whatever the case may be. So we've kind of talked about those. Those are a little bit more into the emergency type thing or a grid down. Excuse me, let me hit this water one more time. Those are more the emergency or the grid down or, you know, numerous different things that could happen that are a possibility that could happen. I want to talk about something that's also hand in hand and goes right along with what we're talking about, but it's a little different situation, a little different scenario. Something I don't think I've ever necessarily talked about before, but something that we just recently did with my son, so I want to bring this up too. If you're a father or a husband, then you really need to pay attention here. This is kind of branching maybe a little bit away. I told you this may be a hybrid show. This may be branching away from the rant of a free trapper side and maybe stepping on Clint's toes a little bit with the Man Strong kind of thing. There are products that are offered to us now that can take care of your family in the event of your early death. And it's called life insurance. It's called, you know, term life insurance is cheap. Very, very, very cheap. My oldest son is 21, going on 22 years old, is finishing up his education, is about to start a career. I was able to, for literally just pennies a day, to have a great sum of insurance on him that just, I mean, this is my take on insurance is life happens. You buy a house, you buy a vehicle, you buy whatever. You know, life insurance should not be looked at as the party fund. Sometimes we jokingly around my house talk about how much is the party fund worth now, i.e. if I was to kick the bucket and how big of a party could my wife and my children have. But that's not the approach. The approach and the way, I think, the smart way to use life insurance is, again, hand in hand, it's preparedness and it's taking care of your family and it's taking responsibility for what you under your control. What you don't want to do is start life, go buy a house, you know, get married, have a family, have a kid, something crazy happens, you died and you left those guys with all this debt and no way to repay it. They're going to lose their house. They're going to lose the car. You know, you're going to be forced into an education system that you may or may not choose to because you don't have any luxury or, you know, your wife may or may not be able to pick up and move to get into better school districts, that sort of thing. There's just a plethora of negative side effects that can happen. Life insurance is extremely cheap nowadays. This term life, that's all I buy. I don't buy whole life. I think it's you don't get, you know, the bang for your buck like you do in the term. I'm not an insurance guy. I'm not offering you financial advice. I am telling you that these products are out there now. They're extremely affordable, and it is our responsibility as men, especially if we have dependents, whether that be a wife or children, that we take care of those guys and girls in the event that we're not here. Without getting into numbers, for just $100 or $200 a year, depending on a lot of things, depending on your health, your age, a whole lot of things, term life, you look at that, you can have several $100,000 worth of coverage for just $100 or $200 a year. If you look at here again, it's like having that Bic lighter in my turkey vest when I go turkey hunting out of state. It's just there in case something happens. am I gonna use the big lighter, to use the life insurance analogy, is that gonna be my party fund? Am I gonna go use that big lighter to go light a campfire in the middle of the woods? No, probably not. It's there if I want to, but I guess, but that's not what its purpose is. Its purpose is there to take care of me if I got into a situation where I could have fire that I could boil water with, or I could do whatever. It's the same thing with life insurance. It goes hand in hand, and it's a responsibility thing that men, real true men, owe it to themselves and their families to have in place on them while it's needed. And so I kind of started down this earlier. What do you need? Do you need, you know, $50,000? Do you need $100,000? Do you need $2 million? It depends on the situation. I would certainly look at having all of my debts and all of my obligations covered. I'm not just talking about funeral expenses. I'm talking about what's the balance on your mortgage, what's the balance on any and all loans you have, what would it take to, is your house in need of some repairs and your wife would find that extremely difficult to get that done if you were not there or even without your baseline knowledge of that. That's the sort of thing that you can cover with this life insurance, and that you can, this here again, it goes back to responsibility thing, and it's taking care of the folks that you take care of even when you're not there. I know this personally. I have lived through issues multiple, three or four inside my own family, that there have been deaths untimely, early, from otherwise healthy people, sometimes traumatic, sometimes medical related. Some of those have taken care of their families with the life insurance. It was sitting there. It was not really talked about, but it was there. And, the person that died was sorely missed and is a huge loss. But even in their death, they still provided and took care of their family because they had enough preparation on the early side that they took out some of these term life insurance policies, and the people that were left, the survivors, had a much, much easier time. They were able to now live in a paid for house or a paid for property with paid for vehicles and money left over that they knew they were going to be okay. So just some things to think about, guys. All of these are preparedness. All of these are being responsible. All of these are being a man. If we as a nation can spend $40 million on a witch hunt investigation, what's to say the next thing may not even be worse? And as a result of that witch hunt investigation, we live through multiple different bureaucrats losing their jobs, some of them doing jail time, some of them a lot of federal employees having the government shut down. I'm just saying, we're in a really, really fickle society if we can, on the whim, because someone doesn't like someone's political stance, they can make false accusations that result in what we just witnessed, which is almost a circus act in our nation's capital. If that can happen, and it did, we just wrap this up, then what's the next step? Do they play hardball even harder next time? Does the government shut down? Does our military shut down? We didn't even touch on ammunition and guns and self-defense and all that stuff. And I'm about to wrap up, so I'm not even going to go there. But that's another gravely huge issue that goes right along with the whole being prepared type thing. So at any rate, I think it's pretty obvious, as much as I stumbled and bumbled through this, that I'm not a political type guy. I'm not a political minded guy. But I did want to use this as an example of being prepared and kind of point out that as fickle and on a whim as our government is, and really and truly our society is, there's some crazy guys out there that are getting a lot of power here, and we need to be prepared in all things. There's the preparedness can go in so many different avenues, and I've only touched on not even the very tip of the iceberg. I've just touched on one or two little bitty small things that popped up in my head. What I would encourage you to do throughout the coming week is just kind of think about some things that you're lacking in on your preparedness personally. How can you get better on those? How can you educate yourself more? While you do have a YouTube and a Google to search this and to research, you know, these type things, now's the time to do it. Get proficient at them, whatever it is that you need doing. If you need to take a look deep down inside at how you're going to take care of your family if you're not there anymore, maybe now's the time to go visit with some insurance agent somewhere and just explore this term life insurance type thing, because this is a really, really big one that can have lasting impacts too. Okay, guys, well, I have enjoyed hanging out with you. We're going to go ahead and close the show up. It's going to be a little bit shorter show than what we typically do on the rant or the new transition as we go into the Man Strong podcast. But I do appreciate you being attentive, and I appreciate you listening this long. And Clint should be back with you with the inaugural first episode of the Man Strong podcast next week. And until then, this is Chip signing out for the Rant of a Free Trapper.
Reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. We tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty-waist judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up behind and let them swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for you better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Now, I'm the kind of man wouldn't harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but a darn sure will. If you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on by. As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. I got a way to put an end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp, or put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Watch where you go and remember where you've been. So when you see it, I'm a simple